If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk about AEW and NXT like we do every Thursday morning. We get into Jon Moxley being offered a spot in the Inner Circle by AEW champion Chris Jericho. And speaking of champions, after what we saw in the NXT main event last night, Finn Balor is now the number one contender and will face NXT champion Adam Cole next week on NXT. We get into that as well. And how about this special holiday treat for the Busted Open Nation? The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, the greatest of all time. Woo! On today's episode of the Busted Open Podcast. Jericho and Moxley from last night, telling the story, setting it up, and giving it a little time. We talked about the other day with Seth Rollins, hey, why throw it out there so quickly? Let it breathe. Let's build a story around it. Now you have a story, and Jericho even said, hey, take your time. Go enjoy the holidays. We'll be here when you come back and you make your decision. Interesting.
What do you think? What did you think about the way they set up that story?
Like the
about,
whole, I liked
about
it
going
all.
Back in time and acknowledging their time in WWE. They never said WWE,
which is smart.
But Jericho acknowledged some of their history, which when we were talking the other day, I said I was hoping that that's what they would do because it's legitimate and it's real. And when you hear, Jericho referencing history like that, you have to get drawn in. It's impossible not to be intrigued because you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Jericho cracked Moxley over the head with like a cinder block or a potted plant or something like this. And they had a feud going on over there in WWE. So now you're interested because you're wondering, oh, what are they going to say next? What are they going to say next? And they transition from that backstory to now the front story of, hey, man, join us, be a part of us. It seems like that's an underlying theme within AEW right now. Join the Inner Circle or join the Dark Order. Brandi Rhodes trying to turn her whole thing into a cult movement.
Yep.
Everybody needs to join something.
Yeah, there's a lot of clubs. A lot of clubs in AEW.
A lot of clubs.
But you know what, Bully? Once again, you said this. Hey, I like when not so much bashing another company, but using the history in another company. When you're a company like AEW, you have no history. So when you tell a story like this one, you're going to have to go back to another organization to kind of thread that story into what's going on now. And they did it perfectly. And they did it in a way, too, where they weren't bashing the WWE. Like you said, they didn't even say the letters WWE, but they went back to that history. Honestly, listening to it, some of which you kind of forget after time, right? You know about everything that's happened. You know, hey, I when 10 years ago you came to me, hey, Chris, how do I become a star? How do I become a, you know, like what he's saying is, hey, I was on the indies. How do I become a WWE superstar? What do I need to do? And he did it, and he succeeded. And they had their feud, and he brought that in. And also kind of referencing the Talk is Jericho podcast where, hey, you're unhappy, you wanted another avenue, and you went to the avenue that brought you here to AEW. But I was the catalyst that helped you do that. It's a wonderful story. And again, he's inviting him to be part of the Inner Circle. But as we know, why is he doing that? He's doing that so he doesn't challenge him for the championship. It's going to be a fun ride between these two.
The other day, I talked about how the way to go, in my opinion, was Jericho basically holding it over Moxley's head that if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here. And he did it in a way last night where it was subtle. He didn't basically come out and hold the gun to Moxley's head and said, hey, kid, if it wasn't for me, you'd be a nobody. Because he didn't want Moxley to run from him. He was trying to draw him in. So he was subtly telling him and reminding him about their history together, about You reached out to me. I told you how to get over. And then I helped you with this. And then we kind of became bitter rivals. And then after you were unhappy, you came on my talk show and we talked. And I brought you in here. And hey, man, everything is great. Let's make it even better. So I liked how Jericho didn't go full-blown heel with him holding Moxley's job over his head. He kind of used it to draw him in. Hey, man, I was the nice guy. I helped you. I've always been there for you, kid. I took you under my wing. I got you this deal with Tony Khan. Yeah. Wouldn't you love to be part of the inner circle? I've done the right thing by you since day one. Now do the right thing by me. It's a great approach to heel manipulation.
Absolutely. What did Henry Hill say in Goodfellas? You know, they come as your friends, like somebody you've known for your whole life, and they come as your best friend. That's exactly how Chris Jericho presented himself last night to Jon Moxley. You're 100% right, Bully, and that's the way you should do it. You're not going to get in his face and start screaming and start making threats because that's going to make him get aggressive and want to back down. Completely the opposite. He came across as his friend. Come in, come be a part of this club.
Did Moxley boot Jericho and hit him with the dirty deeds?
Nope.
Did Moxley take the shirt off his shoulder and throw it back in Jericho's face?
Nope.
Did Moxley tell Jericho to go to hell?
Nope.
Did Moxley give Jericho a no?
Nope.
I guess Moxley's thinking about it. And there's your story. Boom. And one day that t-shirt will come back into play, whether Moxley decides to put it on or whether Moxley decides to burn it. And there's your story. I love the way they set it up. Backstory, gentle heel innuendo of you owe me your career, kid. And now what's going to happen next? It's great storytelling. And that's what it's all about. And guys like Chris and guys like Moxley and especially guys like Cody. And I want to get into Cody's tag match versus Kenny's tag match as we get on in the show because some very interesting things I picked up in that. Mm-hmm. But storytelling trumps everything, Dave. I don't care what you say. It always has for me as a wrestling fan. It always has for me as a wrestler. Storytelling and psychology will always top high spots.
And you know what? NXT and AEW are both doing a really good job. And you know how you know? Because of the crowd reactions. The crowd reactions on SmackDown and Raw, and I'm not killing those shows, especially Raw. It's been a lot better lately. Judge the crowd reactions you're getting from these two shows as opposed to those two shows. It's a world of difference.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Loved the three-way last night.
Really
loved
did.
It. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Can't say enough good things about it. You got two guys with a similar style in Finn Balor and Ciampa. Guys that can punch, kick ass, but then do some really great, high spots and aerial stuff. And then you add in the big man. And this is where I love different styles within a match. You add Keith Lee in there, who can do some of the same stuff as the smaller guys. And we saw last night, the smaller guys able to do some of the big man stuff. I don't know how I feel about some of these smaller guys manhandling Keith Lee and being able to get him up. I think my thinking might be a little too old school on this one, and I will admit it. Like, there's a way to get a guy like Keith Lee up. I don't think being able to deadlift him from a dead stop is the way to go. Like, I believe there was a spot last night where Ciampa was able to actually pick him up, right?
It was a struggle, but he got him up.
Yeah, like if Keith Lee was standing on the second rope and was gonna go to like superplex Finn Balor off, and he was already up there, and then Ciampa's able to come underneath and get him, it's a little bit more believable to me, and it protects the size of Keith Lee a little bit better. That's my own personal opinion. Doesn't take away from what I saw last night. I love the match. Those three guys are phenomenal athletes, phenomenal performers, phenomenal wrestlers, and I love the finish. because Keith Lee was in total control. And as he hits his finish out of nowhere, here comes Balor with his finish. Boom. It's what we call a bang bang finish.
Yep.
Before you even know what happened, it's over, and it's over in a credible way. Hats off to all three of those guys, and really looking forward to Balor and Cole. How is that not going to be a phenomenal match?
It's going to be awesome. And also got to give credit to the commentators. And when we talk about NXT, obviously we talk about Mauro being back, and he did a phenomenal job last night. But you know what? Credit to Beth Phoenix and Nigel McGuinness, especially in that match, because Nigel McGuinness did a great job, because there was a point where Lee should have won that match and he didn't hook the leg. And Nigel McGuinness is like, you got to hook the leg there. And he said if he would have hooked the leg, probably would have gotten the victory. That's great commentating. And again, sometimes we forget how essential the commentators are on both shows, but that's a great example. Again, we usually talk about Mauro. Great commentating by Beth Phoenix and Nigel McGuinness last night.
They definitely did a great job. And commentary at sometimes is more important than the actual match, because commentary can be the glue.
Yep.
Commentary helps to tell the story. That what they said last night about Keith forgetting to hook the leg.
Yep.
That's like watching a boxing commentator or an MMA commentator, you know, with like quote unquote legitimate fighting, say, wow, if they would have just done this with the arm, or if they would have just positioned his body, or if they would have slipped the jab. It gives it so much credibility, as if to say, come on, Keith Lee, you got to be a little smarter than this if you're going to try to beat these guys. And the hooking of the leg comment made total sense. It gave credibility to the announcers. And it gave credibility to the match, because now you find yourself asking yourself this, Dave, what if Keith Lee would have hooked the leg?
Yep. And that's where the inexperience comes in for Keith Lee, because he should be now facing Adam Cole next week for that championship. And I guarantee you, they'll probably bring it up the next time you see Keith Lee in the ring. Man, if he would have just hooked that leg at the end of that match, he would be facing Adam Cole instead of Finn Balor.
And it was Nigel who said it,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it was Nigel, yep.
And if you think about it, there might be some people out there that don't know Nigel's history or his track record. If anybody can say Keith Lee should have hooked the leg, it's Nigel.
Yep.
Because Nigel was a surgeon in that ring. Nigel was great at what he did. And in my opinion, Nigel's career came to a halt entirely too quickly. Nigel in Ring of Honor was a freaking stud. Nigel, when he first started in TNA, was a stud. Anything Nigel did was great, and it was credible. So Nigel saying that Keith should have hooked the leg was extremely credible.
Yeah, that feud in Ring of Honor between Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson is one of my all-time favorite feuds. Like, it was phenomenal. I guess it's about a decade ago now. Yeah, and now you get Finn Balor going to challenge Adam Cole. And the first thing I thought of when that match was over and I saw Finn Balor standing over Keith Lee was like, we never saw this Finn Balor on Monday Night Raw.
I can't believe you just said that. You stole my thunder, kid. I was going to ask you, Dave, do you ever remember seeing Finn Balor look like that after a match? I do. You know when? New Japan.
Yep.
Never really saw him like that after a match on Raw. It's a different world, man. It's a different world. You're always walking on some eggshells over there. In NXT, I don't think they walk on any eggshells. In New Japan, I don't think they walk on any. Because you know you're not going to be chastised or looked down upon. Or it seems like sometimes on the quote-unquote main roster, the minute you get back through the curtain, everybody is trying to justify their job by telling you what you did wrong. That does not go on in NXT at all. I believe Hunter, in a lot of ways, is very similar to Paul Heyman back in ECW. He's the first person that you see when you go through the curtain, and he's there to shake your hand, pat you on the back, give you a shot in the ass, tell you good game, tell you what you did right, then pull you on the side and say, here's what you could have did a little better. And that is a great head coach, because they're talking you up first, and then they're pulling you on the side and said, here's what you could have did better. Here's what you did wrong. In WWE, and I know this because I've been there, a lot of times, man, me and D-Von would go back through the curtain, and we're like riding this mega high because we knew we just popped 20,000 people with our opponents and tore the house down. And there's your agent saying, hey, man, why did you do this? And, you know, you shouldn't have did this. And it's like, dude, first of all, you can't go out there and do what I just did. Second of all, how about acknowledging the positive first?
Yep.
And this all goes back to the look on Finn's face. Finn was having fun. Finn was in the moment. Finn was the wrestler that Finn always knew he could be and wanted to be. And that's the beauty of what you get in NXT. That's the beauty of what you get in AEW. How come you see a definitive difference in these wrestlers and athletes on NXT and AEW? Why does everything look so different in their mannerisms, their entire aura?
I think, Bully, the two people that we've talked about so far this morning are the two best examples. Finn Balor on NXT and Jon Moxley on AEW. You're seeing the Jon Moxley that he wants to be, and you're seeing the Finn Balor that he wants to be.
Exactly. And Jericho is not a good example, because Jericho got to do most of the things that he wanted to do in the WWE. Most of the things. And now he's getting to do all of the things he wanted to do in AEW. Moxley and Finn probably got to do some of the things. And the things that they were able to get, they probably had to fight really, really freaking hard for. And when the struggle is that real, if you're a Moxley or if you're a Finn and you show up and you're like, hey, I got this idea and this idea and this idea, and then it's like, well, no, we want to go this way. But you know in your heart what you have is good for the match and good for business, but the agent or Vince, you know, for that matter, might want to do something else. You try to get your idea across. You try to get your plan across. You try to get your psychology across. And then they finally approve it. But you feel like you're the hero at the end of the action movie. You may have won, but you died in the end. When you saw that look on Finn Balor's face last night, do you feel like he died at the end?
No.
Nah, man. The hero won, and he was happy about it.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Mr. Flair, how are you today?
Good morning. It's always Rick to you. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Nate. How are you, brother?
Good, Bubba. Hey, man, are you still with that beautiful woman?
I am still with this beautiful woman. Yes, I am. And Velvet! No, Ric Flair says hello.
Huh?
She says hello.
Good deal. Very good. I hope your holiday is great.
You also.
She's a beautiful girl. I'm happy for you.
Thank you very much.
How are you guys? I've had my coffee, man. Let's do this.
Well, I'm glad you had your coffee, Rick, yeah. Because it's always a pleasure having you on. I mean,
thank you.
Some of the best interviews. This show has been on the air for over 10 years. And when we talk about the interview of the year every year, we always bring up a sit down with you. And one thing, Rick, that you've been able to do, it's been unbelievable, is that you have always been able to keep yourself relevant. Doesn't matter whether it was in the ring as part of the NWA or WWF or WWE, or even now, you're always mainstream attraction, getting mainstream attention. How do you do it?
To be honest with you, that's a great word, because I think when you and I talked the other day, it just you know, it's all due to my agent, who's my wife, Wendy. Literally, when I got sick in 17, my then agent had run me into the ground, not only taking money from me financially, putting me in bad deals, which is, my fault for not looking after it more carefully, but the trust I put in her and, Wendy's gone out there. I mean, yes, these people they always approach, but you guys have always approached me and, come to me with deals, but it's really important to have the right person in representing you in your behalf. And Wendy's done that. And my friendships with Post Malone and Sway Lee and Offset and all that are circumstances that still the relationship, when I do an appearance for these guys and stuff like that, it's massaged and handled. And Wendy just handles all of it. As a matter of fact, I've had a couple guys ask me if Wendy had time to work on them with their social media and, being able to work with the Comic-Con people and the music people. And, she just put together a deal for me with Netflix. And, of course, she takes that deal to a lawyer to dot the I's and cross the T's. But she builds these relationships, and it takes a while to think that she's built all this, in terms of, confidence with her. The Adidas thing that I have, which it will be, launched in the next week or so, it was all through her. They came, this all was stuff that, number one, I wasn't physically probably able to partake in terms of flying to Portland to meet with Adidas or fly to L.A. for stuff. And certainly fly over to London. This was when I was still sick. All this stuff is coming to fruition now. So, she'd be a great add-on for the WWE or any number of people. But it's a full-time job just with me, which is phenomenal to having a phenomenal part of my life right now to be at my age and still be relevant, which, as we've discussed so many times, the word comes up every day. You listen to different people and on social media, it's such a big part of life, and people can scoff at it, laugh at it, say it doesn't mean anything, but it does. And especially if you're making money and it's a tool and an avenue that is always nice for everyone to have that wants to make money. And, if you're the nature boy, the deal with the money.
Nate, if there's
like
one
me trying,
thing.
Like me talking, like me hitting Bubba up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and saying, we're going over to the, what's the name of that hotel, Bubba?
The Doubletree. Yep.
I used to start the conversation at 4 with Bubba. 2 of them I saw him earlier, making sure he had no plans on escaping him to the private side.
You're right. You'd always corner me at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. I hit him. Before we start talking serious, get down to the finishes of what we're doing, Bubba. Let's figure out a plan of attack and what time we're going to meet at the Doubletree. Okay, I'll be there at 7:30. I know you got to run by Fridays to keep Keith Mitchell happy, but let's get to
Obviously, hey, Nate, obviously we had a lot of fun, and when I think of you and your career, whether it was in the ring or out of the ring, you always like to have fun, and which brings me to my question. How much fun was it for you to work with Hulk again just recently in the past couple of months?
Ah, fantastic. God, I mean, it's incredible. Number one, it was a great experience. Number two, any of us that have had the opportunity to be in front of the camera, that's what we miss the most. I mean, just to go out there and have fun with the audience and all that. I mean, people were telling Jerry Lawler I was drunk. I was just having fun. Because they don't do that anymore, just interacting with the office and picking out somebody in the audience that you know, that's get, trying to get some attention. So I'll give it to him, and I'll just, it's just, it's an awesome opportunity that the company afforded me, and traveling with Hulk, you know, of course it's a private jet, and everything that I've always said I did and did and actually have done, but not to the extent that he has. We were on a different budget. I was on my own, and he was on Jensen.
Well, and again, you're going back to a time when, you know, you were NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and Hulk was WWF Champion. And I do say that you were NWA World Heavyweight Champion. He was WWF Champion, not World Champion, because you actually defended the title all over the world. But I digress. Now, at that time, there was the rivalry that the fans had. We always wanted to see you and Hogan in the ring together. Who was truly the best champion? Did you know him then? Were you friendly with him then? Did you know all that was going on with the fan attention about you two?
Yeah, I guess I did, but I only knew him a little bit back then. I met him when he came to Atlanta on his way to Memphis, and then we were in St. Louis one night together when he was working for Vern, and then of course in the 80s, you know, we crossed paths. NWA would be in Chicago at the same time they would be, or because there were two arenas, and or Philadelphia, above, you remember those days, and we would cross paths. So yeah, well, I've always been real friendly with them. You know, I mean, it was hard for me because of where the position that Eric put me in, you know, not to be resentful of not him, but the whole way the thing came down. You know, I mean, I went and got, you know, I introduced everybody and brought he and Randy. And as a matter of fact, I guess I was partially responsible for recruiting Gene and Bobby Heenan too, because I told those guys, I said, you know, the wrestling's one thing, but if you don't have people that can make these guys bigger than life on the microphone, then it doesn't mean anything, because that's a very important part of the program. And as you know, Bubba, you guys know, Dave, you listen to the commentary can make or break you. And it's just, it is what it is. And you could be great, and a lot of guys that are great never go anywhere if the announcer doesn't, you know, make them sound like they are. So, you know, and then of course, and then it was Eric with me, it was out of sight, out of mind. The problem was that I'd been there so long that I could take those beatings, and not beatings, but I could take those lapses of, you know, being crushed or sent home or whatever. And I never lost my fan base, or if I did, not a lot of it. So, but that just comes with years. It's, you know, kind of like I said the other day, when you've been on TV for 40 years, I don't care what you've done. But if you've done it at a high level and you've been the very best at what you did or in that category, you're going to be remembered for a long, long time. And that's hopefully the position I'm fulfilling right now.
Nate, for the past 10 weeks, every Thursday here on Busted Open, you know, the conversation is monopolized between NXT and AEW. Do you get a chance to watch either one of the brands? And if so, what is your thoughts and opinions on them?
I do watch. Well, it's just like everybody else, it's got me going back and forth. You know, I think that two different styles again. AEW is going back to a format very similar to what we used to do in both companies, where, because they have the experience of Chris Jericho, able to walk out and talk to anybody. He can brag. He can be intellectual. I mean, Chris Jericho is a very smart guy. Aside from being extremely talented, he's a smart guy. I mean, he wouldn't have been as successful in this business and had the longevity in this business if he wasn't smart and wasn't good and wasn't adaptable. So he can get beat, come back the next day, and people forget about it because he's so entertaining. And he diversified himself with music, and now he's doing these cruises. And I mean, there's another guy that's very, very relevant, and he keeps himself that way. And it's worked out great for Chris. So he brings that maturity. NXT is all about developing the youth, and it really isn't fair to put that kind of pressure on the young kids, but it goes with our business. It goes with the territory. It's like a guy that's been sitting on the bench in any other sport, and all of a sudden he could be there for 14 weeks, and they call him, and he hasn't played a game, and you got to go out and play. And then you've got, and God only knows, if it's that opportunity that's going to catch Vince or Hunter or Stephanie or Michael Hayes' moment, or I, or Tony Khan's eye, or whoever else is helping book over with the AEW, it's that moment that you've got to seize and you've got to be ready to go. So it's great for the fans, and it's great for the wrestlers to have the opportunity to go either place, but it's a lot of pressure, as it is. And I mean, that's part of the thing with SmackDown and Raw. You have, if you look at, I think they have close to 100 people at NXT now. Out of that 100, you know, maybe 5 will make that roster. Now, I think I'm being pretty accurate there. If I'm looking at both shows, which I do obviously because of my daughter, not only to see what she's doing, but to see what her competition is doing. If they have 100, they get 5 up there in 1 year. That's a lot. But look what they're spending and paying these kids who deserve it to be down there training. And then you look at the percentage and the odds of them that make it, and I'm sure the same will apply to AEW. Those guys that are getting an opportunity that never would have at NXT, well, maybe they would have. You don't know that, but it just presents more opportunities for the young kids partake in what we've all come to love, the wrestling on live TV at the main event level.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Hey, Rick, I want to go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Before anybody says anything, because we were chatting during the break, and it's the holiday season, and I actually tweeted this out. My wife asked me, what do you want, Dave, for Christmas? And I seriously told my wife, go to RicFlairShop.com. So, I mean, I'm expecting every present under the tree this year to be from RicFlairShop.com. That's all I'm saying.
You know, if you say that again in the next hour, I might get a present today.
well, then we'll say it twice.
Yeah, RicFlairShop.com.
Santa's little helper.
Woo!
I love it.
Taking care of the nature boy.
The nature boy.
Hey, Nate, let me ask you.
I was going to say that every time I hang out with Offset, I got to go see Iceman Nick in Houston or Smith TV to pick up some bling, and I'm done. I'm done trying to keep up with Offset with the bling. I don't care if I was bling before bling was bling. I'm done. But Wendy told me last night as she walked upstairs, and by the way, we're going to Houston and no more jewelry from the Iceman.
That might be the line of the year. You were bling before bling was bling. I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
Put it on social media.
And the founder of Swag, ask LeBron.
So, Rick.
First thing LeBron asked me is, where's my Rolex watch? I said, which one? One of the three I've been stolen or what I got on?
You know, Rick, what's it like for you? Like, you know, I mean, listen, you know, everywhere you go, I mean, LeBron James, who's the most famous athlete right now, and they see you, they know who you are, they're wooing, they're asking to see the Rolex. I mean, what's that like for you?
Fantastic. I mean, when you think about all the mishaps I've had with the Rolexes, it's great to have one on. I actually have two right now. I have had six before, but, you know, wives just hang on to stuff, and I've lost them in, you know, nights like hanging out with Bubba and Devon. Just don't know where they were when I woke up. But, no, just – and I've had guys with me lose their Rolex in the same scenario that will blame me for it. I wasn't even in the room.
And I will say this, Dave, Ric Flair can wear a Rolex like no other man can. Right, Nate?
Yeah. Well, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that call from Rolex. 678-4.
Well, the closest thing I've ever had to a Rolex is a Rolo. I don't make enough money to get a Rolex. I get the knockoff you get on 49th Street.
Yeah, no, they can pick that up right away on me. It's like radar. Let's see the Rolex. I probably get that when I'm traveling at least twice a day on airplanes, wherever I go. Killer Mike,
Dixie,
a rapper from Atlanta here. I got on a plane. He was sitting three rows ahead of me, and all of a sudden his arm went up, and he said loud for the whole plane, I knew I had to wear my Rolex today. I just had a feeling, and I was sitting there. People are going, what the guys keep talking about? But yeah, so I'm glad that they got a lot of play out of it. But it's just something I said one day, and it picked up, and thank God that it's turned into something that people have enjoyed. So I'm thankful for it.
Hey, Nate, a little while ago, we were talking about your daughter, Charlotte, obviously in-ring, yeah, doing a phenomenal job. I'd like to ask you a question about something that's going on in her personal life, if you don't mind. Obviously, on social media, we know that Charlotte and Andrade are seeing each other. They're dating.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on Andrade in the ring and out of the ring?
Well, out of the ring, he's a phenomenal gentleman, and he's a man's man. And I mean that sincerely. He's a man's man, a real tough kid. But and in the ring, he is a legit phenomenal wrestler. I mean, the kid is 220, 225 pounds and put together, and he can do anything athletically that Rey Mysterio can do at, you know, 70 pounds, or not 70, but 40 pounds heavier than Ray. So he can wrestle that style. He can wrestle as a heavyweight. If you look at him, technically he's sound. His kicks, his punches, everything he does. And he's one of those guys that has that incredible look. You know, he's handsome. But for me personally, he treats Ashley phenomenal. And that's a lot to keep up with. Trust me, I mean, she is the most competitive woman in the world. As you guys know, I'm sure you've heard, she just, you know, not changing the conversation, but yeah, he's everything that she's ever dreamed of. And for me, as a father, I've never seen her happier, which is really the first time in about 5 years that I've seen her take time to enjoy, enjoy this great ride that she's on, where she's at a level second to nobody. And, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, I get to brag about her a lot and talk about, you know, but when I do this, it's you know, people go, why is Ric Flair talking about his daughter? Well, it is. It's Ric Flair talking about his daughter. But I do know the difference between good, great, and being the best. And just as you guys have your opinions. And she is at such a level right now. And what people don't realize is you'll spend your whole career, Bubba, you will attest to this, and they'll say, well, Rick, who are your greatest rivalries? And, you know, for me, the list is endless. But if you think about it, in 5 years, I mean, I call Sasha, when I see her, I call her Steamboat, because Sasha is Charlotte's Steamboat. The chemistry, I'm sure, and every time they work, it's a match that is going to be the match that's going to steal the card that night, or the programming. And now, whether they're friends or not friends, and I hope that eventually they end up being friends, or, you know, it changes daily, and I'm not privy to that. But she and Becky have had one of the longest running feuds that the company has seen in years. It's a feud like The Rock and Austin had, or Austin and Shawn, or Hunter and I'm trying to think of feuds that have gone on for two. It's hard to get a feud that carries on for over a year now and continues to be the heater. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
These are legendary moments that they need to look back on and say, you know, these are the kind of things when they're, you know, 10 years from now, people will say, well, God, who is your favorite opponent? And, I mean, then the match she has with Asuka at WrestleMania 2 years ago, I mean, it stole the show. So, I mean, she's had and been in a position, you know, thankfully, because of the booking, but number two, because she's the GOAT right now. She can work with anybody, and she can have a hell of a match. And it just, that is the art of being really good. And the match she had with the two girls, Asuka and Kylie?
Kairi Sane. Yep, Kairi Sane.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, my God, Kevin Dunn is talking to me and said, God, I hope the guys are watching this. I mean, and it was phenomenal. I mean, and these girls that continue to steal the show. Here's this Kylie jumping off the top of the turnbuckle, right? And the camera, of course, with Kevin shooting it. She killed Becky going to the table. Well, girls are not getting enough credit, because, I mean, the kid in the, you know, to me, I would have taken her out if I'm running it, I'm taking her out in a stretcher.
Yeah. It looked bully. Like, you said that. Sense. Yep.
No, I mean, and take her out in a stretcher because the kid in the fifth row is wondering how the hell she ever get up. You know what I mean? And I'm sure it was in there. They all are. Going through the table, it's just plywood, really. Going through the table, which, Bubba, you made a living doing this. Yeah, you're out there and the adrenaline's running and all that, but it's going through a table. Take the average guy and put him through a table. He'll be laying out there till you're on the show, till you come back to the arena 6 months later. I mean, serious. And they don't, and, you know, Becky's popping up and all that. I've taken Becky out in a stretcher and had asked her to go over to her and say, what about now? And then when Becky goes, yeah, I agree. And I'd actually kicked the stretcher over.
Rick.
I don't think so, sister.
it's almost, for me, it's incredible.
That's why they don't let me write the show.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why they don't let me write the show either, because I said the same thing on Tuesday. And to know that my opinion is the same of your opinion, and when it comes to opinion, yeah, yours to me is the be-all and end-all, yeah. I don't understand why she was able to get up on her feet. And hearing you say that she should have been stretchered out and it should have been sold more accordingly is great to hear, because I think everybody agrees with that. You can't sell too much. And as a guy who made a living selling, you know that. I wish there was just a little bit more of it today.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm being the, in this case, the Thursday morning quarterback. But I look at the bumps and what these girls put themselves through, and it's nothing different than what the guys are doing, and they're doing it as women that are beautiful, feminine. I mean, Becky is a beautiful, very extremely feminine woman, 120 pounds maybe. Going through a table, you know, from a girl jumping 8 feet in the air off on top of her. And And whatever anybody wants to think, the bottom of the D, it's cement. It's a table landing on an inch, on a tumbling mat that's an inch thick, or rubber. It's an inch thick, okay, but it's hard rubber. There's no give. It's not a trampoline. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I don't think the people understand that. So to Becky, kudos. I mean, you know, I tell this to people, and I tell them, and Sasha, when Ashley and Sasha had that Hell in a Cell, hell, they faked me out. Do you remember when it looked like Sasha wouldn't be able to finish the match, the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they faked me out the opening when they had that guy. You can't remember the exact sequence, but something where I think Sasha got her head slammed in the door. I mean, it was. And then they went on to have this unbelievable match. And I know this weekend, you know, these table lettered and chairs, that they're going to do something to those four girls because of the, you know, the athletic, the little Kylie, and it's just a miniature version of Ashley in terms of athleticism. They'll be doing some stuff off that ladder, you know, that you know, is really, you never know. It's nothing's guaranteed, as Bubba will tell you.
So let me ask you, when you're watching, so Rick, when you're watching your daughter this weekend, when you're watching TLC on Sunday, and you're going to see, and you're right, you're going to, at some point, you're going to see Charlotte on a table or on a ladder.
Sure.
I mean, how are you feeling at home watching that on TV?
Well, I'm extremely proud of her, as I am all of them. But you know, of course, I worry about it. You know what I mean? Because I can remember when she speared Becky through. They set the bar high. Spearing Becky through the Tron, remember?
Yep.
Getting ready for WrestleMania. I mean, that. Here's the deal. When you set the bar as recently as last year with the stuff that Ronda and Becky and Ashley did to each other, the bar is set. And you don't have to go back 10 years to look at it. You don't have to go to that fabulous library, the WWS. It's there in your mind from last year. So now when you start getting ready for the WrestleMania, you've got to build off of something that was really hard to duplicate. They're going to figure out a way to do it. They always do. But they set that bar so high. When Ashley got to beat the hell out of Ronda, who is a phenomenal talent, can never leave her out of that equation, and tougher than hell. But the kendo stick deal where she left Ronda laying, I mean, and as you said, Dad, I feel bad. I said, look, at Ronda is tougher than hell. You know, she's giving the green light, you know, beat her up, right? That's what we do. But now that bar is set so high that, you know, and I'm not saying this because you're there, Bubba, but you guys set the bar so high with Jeff and Matt and all these guys that they had to tone it down because the guys would go out there competing against each other, trying to outdo each other. And it got to the point where, you know, everything was, you know, risking someone's career for at least 6 months, you know, and so they brought it down for a while. But that's, it's not because the company's making anybody do it. The guys want to do it. You know, to me, Jeff Hardy will be 2 Hall of Fame rings already, and Matt, and Edge, and all the stuff they did. The spear, I mean, that's a highlight. To me, that's as big a highlight as Mick going through the top of the cage. Edge, spear, and Jeff coming off the ladders. I mean, I just think of things over the years that just stand out in those type of matches. And, of course, Bubba, you and Devon have been in thousands of them. But they had to tone it down because it gets to the point where the guys want to go out there and to make an impression on Vince and the powers that be, they'll do anything.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.